Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Amen. Well, let's get our Bibles open, as we always do, to Psalm chapter 34. Let's get our Bibles open to Psalm chapter 34. And if you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand, and one of the ushers at the back would love to put a copy of God's word into your hand. Don't be shy. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to get a copy of God's word into your hand. And if you don't own one, please take that home. It'll be our gift to you. We would love you to take it home and read it and have your life changed by the word of God. Psalm chapter 34, we're continuing in our mini-series through Psalm 34 over the next couple weeks. And today, we continue to unpack the psalm from verses 4 to 8. I'm going to read from the beginning and then stop at verse 8, and then we're going to expound with God's help verses 4 to 8. Psalm 34, verses 1 to 8. Let's read it now together. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. And here last week we saw the invitation to praise. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And here's where we're going to expound today, verse 4. David says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. David says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Amazing verses for us. Amazing verses of perspective and instruction and encouragement coming our way. But before we jump in to draw out the truth from these verses, I think it's important to be reminded of the context of these verses. The context in which they were written in that we unpacked last week. David, we need to remember, writes this psalm right in the middle of life-threatening circumstances and right off the heels of an amazing deliverance. In fact, I want you to remember that the context of Psalm 34 is, in fact, 1 Samuel 21. And we know this because of the introduction right at the top of Psalm 31. If you look in your Bible, you see an introduction there. In my Bible, it says, of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away. So by way of review, important for us to understand the context that David writes Psalm 34, it's 1 Samuel 21. In 1 Samuel 19, we're told that David found out that King Saul wanted to kill him, so he went on the run as a fugitive. Now David fled to a place called Gath, which was the land of the Philistines of all places, the place where he previously killed Goliath. We read about that in 1 Samuel 29, verse 10. You remember that when he got to Gath, he sought a refuge with Achish, also called Abimelech, who was the king of the Philistines, or the king of Gath. That's again told to us in 1 Samuel 21, 10. You remember we saw that to David's misfortune, the king's servants recognized him And they basically said to the one another, isn't this King David who has killed his thousands in battle? So they recognized him, and David didn't expect that. And very quickly, he knew he wasn't going to find refuge with the king of Gath. Very quickly, he realized that he was in trouble. When David realized that they recognized him, the Bible tells us, quote, he took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Why? Well, because he was worried that they had perceived him to be a threat. Or he was worried that they would find in him a very valuable hostage. Or he was worried that they were just going to kill him. So what did David do? Well, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 21:12-13, says this, he, David, was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath, notice, so he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gates and let his spittle run down his beard. It's an amazing moment in the life of David. Some scholars believe this to be a very low moment, or they believe that this is a moment in David's life where he just panicked. He had a crazy episode, he panicked, he tried anything just to try to get out of the situation, and he acted like a crazy person. He just did anything he could do to get out of his situation. Other scholars, though, think that this is maybe David just being smart and astute, and God helped him to get out of that situation. Again, as I said last week, I don't really know why David began to act insane. But what we do know is that his tactic worked. The king of Gath ended up releasing him, saying in 1 Samuel 21:15, the king said, do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? And he released David and drove him away. You'll remember 1 Samuel 22 goes on to tell us that David fled from there, relieved, to the cave of Adullam, and about 400 of his own people came to where he was. This is the important context in which Psalm 34 is found. David writes and sings Psalm 34 in the cave of Adullam. He's still afraid of Saul in hot pursuit. But he is so relieved that God has delivered him. And this is what he says, beginning in verse 1 again. I will bless the Lord at all times. It doesn't matter if I'm on the run. It doesn't matter if I'm in the hands of the king of Gath. It doesn't matter if now that I'm safe in the cave. At all times, I will bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes his boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. David looks around. He's delivered. He is safe. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. He extends the invitation that God is worthy. God has saved him. God is a savior. God is a deliverer. So what do? David says, come on, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Now notice verses 4 to 6. David says in the cave, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. He says, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. In verse 6, he says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now let's just stop right here for a moment and consider the reality of our own lives. And if you're honest, you know that there's no shortage of fears and dangers and troubles in our lives. And maybe you're here today and you have some real fears. You know them. You have some real troubles. You're facing real dangers. I received an email this week alerting me and other pastors to pray for our friends at Hope Bible Church in Kelowna, British Columbia, as well as the people of British Columbia, as people were being evacuated because of wildfires that were intensifying. I texted Pastor Meldon Lutzer, the pastor of Hope Bible Church in Kelowna, and he sent me a lot of pictures. This is one picture that I found online. He sent me a bunch. I wish I could show them all to you. He sent me a bunch of pictures to give me an update on what the situation looked like. He wrote, "We now have dozens of families in our church evacuated or on alert." He wrote me another update that one family in his church had completely lost their home, burned up in the flames. He wrote an update this morning, sharing about how their church is seeking to help their church family and the people of British Columbia as they're literally right now losing their homes and evacuating. He talked about how they're making showers available for some families that haven't had a shower since Thursday because they just ran and left their home. They're offering towels because then they left their homes, they didn't take anything with them. This is real trouble that our brothers and sisters are facing in British Columbia. Can you imagine this morning being misplaced and your home being set ablaze? There's real trouble around the world. And I told Pastor Lutzer that we would pray for them because they're facing real trouble. And so let's stop right now and do that. Father, we pray for our friends in Kelowna, British Columbia, and the people of British Columbia. We pray that they would find refuge in you. We find that they would seek you and find you to be a faithful refuge. We pray that you would help them. We pray that you would reveal good purposes to them. We pray that you would protect them. And we pray that you would burden our hearts to continue praying. In Jesus' name, amen. And whether it's fires in British Columbia or scandals in our own prime minister's office or a very volatile economy that's directly impacting all of us in very specific ways, danger and trouble and fear is all around us. So how should we live? What do we do? Do we just sit here and be terrified? Do we just sit here and panic? Do we just sit here and be filled with anxiety? How should we live? Well, I want to give you three incredible truths from David's moment of horror. And you can jot this down. In times of fear and danger and at all times, we must be found. Here is point number one. We must be found seeking the Lord. We must be found seeking the Lord. I want you to notice verse 4 to 6 again. David says, in the cave, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all their troubles. I want you to notice three things right away in verses 4 to 6. First, in verse 4, I want you to notice what David says. He says, I sought the Lord. Second, I want you to notice in verse 5, David says, those who look to him. And third, I want you to notice in verse 6, this poor man, what? This poor man cried. Here we have essentially a description of what it looks like to seek the Lord. Helpful for us to note that in Hebrew, the idea of seeking the Lord or seeking his face is connected to having access to God. It's a way of saying I'm consciously pursuing the safety that comes from being near to God. I sought the Lord. I looked to the Lord. I sought to be near to him. John Piper is helpful when he writes this on the screen. He writes, God's manifest, conscious, trusted presence is not always our constant experience. There are seasons when we become neglectful of God and give Him no thought. Do not put trust in Him. The brightness of His personal character is hidden behind the curtain of our carnal desires. This condition is always ready to overtake us. That is why we are told to seek His presence continually. God calls us to enjoy continual consciousness of His supreme greatness and beauty and worth. Seek the Lord. And in Psalm 34, we see a David who is still a fugitive. He's on the run. His life is in danger. We see a David who's probably still facing the trauma of being held in the hands of the king of Gath. We see a David who's still looking over his shoulder in some ways because King Saul is still in hot pursuit of him. Things are not rosy for this David. His circumstances haven't completely changed. When he says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." But we also see a David who deep in his heart of hearts is earnestly looking to God in the midst of his raging mess. So what can we learn from David's experience? Well, we can learn a lot. And what I'm going to commend to you is some simple truth that, if applied, will relieve your life of fear and anxiety and much sorrow, regardless of what you're facing. You can make a note of this. When we seek the Lord, truth number one I want to commend to you is this: our prayers are answered. Our prayers are answered. When we seek the Lord, our prayers are answered. Notice verse 4. David says, "I sought the Lord," and what? "And He answered me." Now, there's so much I can say about this, and I'm tempted to put forward a whole theology of prayer. But what I will say is this: there's a simple and powerful truth from our text that we need to embrace today. Those who seek the Lord in prayer, who look to God in prayer, who look to God in humility — this poor man cried, he says — who look to God in sincerity, in accordance with God's word, will be heard and answered by God. This is what happens when we set our face to seek the Lord. So if you're afraid today, if you're facing danger today, if you don't know what to do, here's the answer: seek the Lord, and He will answer you. Secondly, when we seek the Lord, you can make a note of this: our fears are gone. When we seek the Lord, our fears are gone. Look at verse 4. He says, "I sought the Lord, and He answered me." Watch this. "And delivered me from all my fears." Every fear, David? I mean, remember King Saul? He still wants to kill you. The king of Gath got dealt with, but Saul is still coming after you. Every fear? "I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears." Now, this doesn't mean that our circumstances always change, or that things we fear will always be eliminated. We know this because as David sings this, Saul is still in hot pursuit of him. What it does mean is that prayers of faith always drive out fear. Prayers of faith always drive out fear. Why? Because you cannot be filled with faith and at the same time be filled with fear. That is a theological impossibility. You cannot be filled with prayers of faith and at the same time be filled with fear. So today, if you find yourself filled with fear, let us replace that fear with prayers of faith. "I sought the Lord, and He's going to answer me and deliver me from all my fears. This world is a terrified place. It is not a good witness to this fearful world to be a terrified church. We have no reason to be terrified. We have no reason to fear. Your interest rate has doubled. You're afraid of losing your home. You have nothing to fear because you're in God's hands. Your son has rebelled against the Lord. Your daughter is turning away from God, and you're terrified. You tremble at their fate. You have nothing to fear because you are in God's hands. He will deliver you one way or another. And the prayer of faith, seeking God's face, drives away fear. You can have that today. Thirdly, our faces shine. When we seek the Lord, our faces shine. Notice verse 5. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. The word radiant describes a joyful countenance, a shining face. Have you ever met someone and you look at their face and you think, my goodness, they are radiant? Regardless of their situation, they shine. A woman who was more than 80 years old once wrote about a personal experience that she had that greatly impacted her life. She wrote this. She wrote, I recall that when I was a child, I used to watch a precious old saint in the church. As with closed eyes, he sang with head thrown back and with tears trickling down over a perfectly radiant face. He used to sing, Come, thou fount of every blessing. Sometimes he sang in tune and sometimes way off, but nobody cared because he sang with his whole heart. And I don't remember a single word he ever said, but I was profoundly impressed by his face. I wanted to be a Christian like that. Since then, I have often prayed, Oh Father, help me to be a radiant Christian. Wouldn't it be so beautiful if our church was full of radiant Christians? Yes, you have trouble. Yes, we have fears. Yes, we have concerns. Yes, there are dangers all around us. But wouldn't it be awesome if we could be a church that has said of us that these people seek the Lord and they are not afraid and their faces shine? I'm thinking of someone I know who has a very radiant face. A pastor friend of mine that every time I get together with him, I just feel like his face is radiant. I tell him that sometimes. Your face is radiant. And I make a direct connection to this man's prayer life because I know him. And I know that he seeks the Lord. What about you? And what about me? When we seek the Lord, our prayers are answered, our fears are gone, our faces shine. Finally, when we seek the Lord, our troubles are handled. Our troubles are handled. Notice verse 6. David says, this poor man cried, this poor man, speaking of his humble, lowly estate, on the run, a fugitive, in danger. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, David was delivered from the king of Gath. And one way or another, loved ones, God will take care of your troubles and mine too. One way or another, God will take care of the troubles of those who seek him. He will either deliver us from our troubles by doing away with them. That's the thing we tend to ask God for. Do away with the troubles. He may do that. Or he may choose to deliver us through our troubles, strengthening us to endure them. I don't know about you, but I like the first one. God, deliver me from my troubles. Take them away. Take the pain away. Take the sorrow away. Remove them from me. Here, David is experiencing both. God delivered him out of the hands of the king of Gath, but Saul is still in hot pursuit of him. And so David prays in both regards. You delivered me from all my troubles. One way or another, loved ones, and here's the challenge. Do you believe it? One way or another, God will deliver you from all of your troubles. And maybe you're here today and you're discouraged because he's not taking away the trouble. But you're missing this. He is delivering you through the trouble, through the furnace, through the fire. I know it's painful. I know it's uncomfortable. I know you want it to change, but maybe the Spirit of God is illuminating your heart right now and saying, oh, loved one, I'm delivering you. I'm bringing you through it. I am with you. All your troubles, I'm taking care of them all. Be encouraged. That's what he's doing. And so here's the question again for us. The question that I'm confronted with this week. Is Jason a man who seeks the Lord? Am I leading my family to seek the Lord? Are we a church that seeks the Lord? We're getting ready to launch a new ministry year, and I'm using this series just as a way to cast some vision to you as well for what's ahead of us. And I believe with faith, so much is ahead of us. We tend to worry a new school year, a new season coming in the fall. We tend to worry and get anxious. But what if we flipped that and all our fears were gone because we were seeking the Lord and our faith was driving out fear, and we began to be people who said, we will seek the Lord. Lord, and seek to live in a conscious awareness of his nearness to us. Lord, I pray you do that for us. Do that in us, Lord Jesus. Do that in these people, I pray, in Jesus' name. In times of fear and danger, and at all times, we must be found seeking the Lord. Secondly, in times of fear and danger and at all times, we must be found sustained by the Lord. Sustained by the Lord. Look at verse 7. David goes on. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Now we're going to get back to this idea of the fear of God later in this series. But for now, in verse 7, David may be envisioning an encampment of angels surrounding him. Why? Sustaining him. And of course, we know from Scripture that God appoints ministering angels. Did you know this? That God appoints ministering angels to his people to serve them and to sustain them in times of danger and trouble. And you're not aware of this often. In fact, most times you're not aware. But Hebrews 1:14 describes ministering angels who are sent out by God to those who are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. God dispatches angels to you and me. In Matthew 4, verse 11, after his temptation in the wilderness, Jesus is ministered to by angels. It says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. In Luke 22:43, as Jesus was praying in agony just before his crucifixion, the Bible says, and there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. Now, this could be what David is envisioning here as he celebrates his deliverance from the king of Gath. He's envisioning an encampment of angels. It's also possible that David could be referring to the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, who many scholars believe is referred to elsewhere in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. That there are these moments that a pre-incarnate Christ appears. Commentators are divided on what this refers to. Either way, there is great comfort for us And there's great hope for those who fear the Lord, that God always sustains and upholds and keeps His people. You may feel like you're falling apart. Have you ever been in a season where you feel like you're falling apart? I have. Have you ever tasted an experience that you just feel like you're hanging on by a thread? You're not going to make it. And God sends someone, or God sends a word of encouragement, or God sends a sermon, or God speaks to you from your Bible study, devotional time, and all of a sudden you're sustained, you're held together, you're strengthened, you can keep going. I've experienced those moments. And I have enough of a Christian life behind me and enough of God's word in front of me to teach me that He is sustaining you. Puritan Thomas Brooks wrote powerfully about how God uniquely sustains His suffering people through the worst trials of all. He speaks specifically about God's sustaining power through the sorrows of martyrdom. He wrote, suffering times are times when the Lord is pleased to give His people some sense of His favor. When they are in sufferings for righteousness' sake, for the gospel's sake, then usually God causes His face to shine upon them. Now they shall hear best news from heaven when they hear worst news from earth. God loves to smile upon His people when the world frowns most. When the world puts its iron chains upon their legs, then God puts His golden chains around their necks. When the world puts a bitter cup into their hands, then God drops some of His honey, some of His goodness and sweetness into it. It was God's lifting up the light of His countenance that made the martyrs to sing in the fire, to clap their hands in the flames, and to tread upon hot burning coals as upon beds of roses. God would lose much of His own glory if He did not stand by His own people and comfort them and strengthen them in the day of their sorrows. It makes much for the glory of God that His people are cheered and comforted, quickened and raised, spiritualized and elevated in the day of their sufferings. It's amazing. And I encourage you to get your hands on historical biographies. I love reading historical biographies of saints of old who endured. You read about these saints who are being burned at the stake because of their faith in Christ. And they worship God as they are being burned. How? God's sustaining power. God's sustaining grace. God ministering to them in their time of suffering, and in your time of suffering, in my time of suffering, in David's time of suffering, we must be found sustained by God. And He does sustain us, even if we don't see it or realize it. Oh, that we would be found seeking the Lord at all times, and quickly and acutely aware that our seeking the Lord gives way to the Lord sustaining us. In times of fear and danger and at all times, we must be found seeking the Lord, sustained by the Lord. Finally, this, in times of fear and danger and at all times, we must be found, you can write this down, satisfied in the Lord. Satisfied in the Lord. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit drives this last point home. Look at verse 8. David says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Again, we need to preach the tone of the text. So it's more like this. Oh, taste and see. Would you just taste and see? Could you just try it? Would you just taste and see that the Lord is good? Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You will be happy if you take refuge in him. You will be content if you take refuge in him. Will you try it? Will you taste it? Will you experience it? That's the tone of the text. That's what David is singing. On the screen for you, Warren Wiersbe wrote this. He wrote, "Those who seek the Lord discover that he not only saves and keeps, but that he also satisfies." It was a great blessing for David to be delivered from Gath, and it was a far greater blessing to be protected by the Lord after he fled. But the greatest blessing was drawing nearer to God and enjoying his presence, not just his gifts. And here, loved ones, as we get ready to close, is the lesson of all lessons, and I believe the point of the entire Bible, that the greatest blessing in life as a follower of Jesus Christ is not merely salvation from sin, it's not merely deliverance from trouble, it's not merely personal growth and sanctification, but it is discovering that the goal of all of these things is the glory of God through an intimate knowledge of him. It's the sweet enjoyment of a relationship with him. That's the point of everything, that God sends his son Jesus Christ to reconcile us back to God, not just so that we can check the box, great, saved from hell, now I have heaven, but so that he can unite us to himself in sweet fellowship, in beautiful relationship that will be perfected one day in his beautiful and glorious and unstoppable kingdom. But you and me, we settle for far less. And some of us just want to get out of our trouble. And some of us just want the next high, the next good thing to happen in my life. And you know what, as I search my heart, I'm guilty of that. I'd be honest with you, as I search my heart in times of prayer, sometimes I find myself praying, Lord, I just need you to send a season of encouragement. And that's okay. It's in those moments that God says, find it in me right now. Find it in me today. And Jason, if I lift the trouble too early, you won't find it in me today. I'm helping you to find it in me. As the Westminster Confession states, the chief end of man is to glorify God and what? Enjoy him forever. Or as John Piper would amend it, the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. And he would say that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And when David says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is the man who takes refuge in him, he's saying, oh, that you would discover the sweetness and the satisfaction of experiencing God, a God who comes to us in the midst of our difficulty. David is saying, King Saul wants to kill me. The king of Gath was no refuge to me, but oh, how blessed I am to have discovered through all my pain that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And he can be that for you and for me. Yes, loved ones, your trouble and your trial and your enemies and your sorrows, they are divine opportunities for you to experience all that your heart was designed to experience. The question is, have you been viewing every trial as your greatest obstacle or as God's divine opportunity? There's good news for us. If you're in trouble today, there's good news. If you're afraid today, there's good news. This is God's opportunity to draw you to himself so that you can finally taste, so that you can finally see that all this Bible study and all this theological knowledge is not just up here. Now I know. Now I've tasted. Truly blessed is the man who finds refuge in him. Have you run out of places to hide? Have you run out of refuge and shelter? Your circumstances not changing? Today, the God of the universe invites you to be blessed and content, to taste and see that he is all that you need. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.